God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
You are beautiful. Do you love your banner out there? Did everybody see your banner? I'm just so thrilled. I can't tell you when I drove up today. I was like, oh my gosh, somebody listened to me at convention and they did it. Thank you. It's just beautiful. So you are beautiful. Thank you. And you just have no idea what's going to happen with that sign. And you won't know everything that will happen. But things are going to happen for people as they drive by and internalize that message. See, because we don't tell each other enough in this world today that we are beautiful. Embedded into the creation is the process of death and resurrection. So the process of things dying and being reborn, as we hear Jesus speak to Nicodemus about in our gospel reading today, it's embedded in the world. So it doesn't take much to just look around this room and see the things that flowered because something died. Right, so the flowers, the plants, the oil, the bread, the wine that we'll have, each other, right? Something had to die so something else could be born. So in fact, we could just look at each other right now and honor the fact that some major transformation happened in the very beginning at our conception that allowed new life to occur. So just have a look at somebody around you and just say, I see that in you. I'm serious, do that. And it gets personal for us, not when we look at the flowers, because we just take it for granted, right, that it's happening all the time. It gets personal when we get pregnant. Right? When babies come. It gets personal when life in the womb has to end in order for life in the world to begin. Right? So remember the drama. Remember the anxiety. You might remember your own trauma of entering the world. Right? See? And the things that we love actually usually cause us the most anxiety. Because we're attached to those in this life. Right. I had somebody say, okay, ponder your problem out there on the wall the other day. Ponder your problem out there on the wall. And now place your hand on your belly and think about the people and the things that you love. And I realized that my concerns, they weren't necessarily problems, but my concerns in the things that I loved were the same. See, they were the same. And so this embedded process, which is intended to regenerate the earth, right, to renew the whole creation, to make a new creation all the time, to just have that thing going all the time, can be stressful for us as we attach to things. And yet, this is what baptism is. Right, we're going to say the words. Pay attention to them. We are baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's not just a physical process that we believe God has embedded into the creation, but it's a spiritual process that when we follow Jesus, we commit to living it, recognizing that it's going to be painful sometimes, in the smallest pieces of death and resurrection, of letting something go so something else can be born, and also the deepest sufferings of life. And sometimes it'll be in our body, and sometimes it will just pain our heart and our spirit. And they'll come in little ways and in big ways throughout all of life. Living in the developed world, the minority world, we can minimize some of our suffering. So sometimes we gloss over those words. They're just interesting words, and they're in the Bible, and they're in the prayer book, and we'll just keep them right there. Keep us nice and safe from what's really being asked of us. I heard once of a rural mountain village in Guatemala, and when they bring a baby for baptism, they bring it in a coffin. And they come up the aisle to the font, and they weep, and they cry, and they wail as they bring this child. And the priest takes the baby from the coffin and baptizes the baby in a bigger font than this. and really puts the baby right down in the water. And when the baby is baptized, the priest lifts the baby, and the whole community bursts out in song and dancing and joy and applause, and they are so happy because this child has been initiated into a life-giving process of death and resurrection. Because you don't get one without the other. And I can't imagine living in a society with a higher infant mortality rate, what that takes. See, even to go through the liturgy, just hearing it, it's kind of traumatic, isn't it? See. And yet that is what is asked for us in baptism. That's the invitation. That's the invitation Jesus is giving to Nicodemus. Like, Nicodemus, it's everywhere. Just look around you. It's embedded in the creation. This is how the Spirit regenerates. This is how the world regenerates. This is how we increase the capacity for love and grace and mercy and justice, is that we die and rise and grow and change. We are ambassadors for Christ, as that second reading said. We birth things into the world that need to be birthed into this world. I think Nicodemus was an Episcopalian. Pretty sure about that. I'm embarrassed that in our canons, in our church, you know, laws, the requirement for membership in the Episcopal Church is that you have to go to church twice a year and pledge. It's like, could you not come up with anything a little bit more, required a little more dedication than that? See? And I get that there's a point of inclusivity about that, and we want everybody to be Episcopalian, so we'll just name you that if you show up twice a year and, you know, put $10 on a card or whatever. You know, but in contrast to what's asked of us at baptism, it's just so ridiculously small. Because baptism asks for nothing less than one's life. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. You know, he's coming in the dark. He's having a secret conversation with him. It's a private, quiet meeting. He's a Pharisee, which means he's a lawyer, so he's probably got some pretty darn good billable hours going on. You know, he has very good standing in the community. This is kind of something going on with this Jesus, but he's going to check it out first. See, what's the contract really look like here? And I wonder sometimes when I hear this story, is like, are you just faking it, Nicodemus? Like that you don't understand this? Because you're a smart guy. See? And it's not that hard. It's demonstrated absolutely everywhere in the creation. How can you not get this? And maybe it's not that he doesn't understand it. It's that he's scared to death to do it. And that's okay. Sometimes it takes us a while to work it out, right? Mary's coming for baptism today. She said, it took me a few years to get here. I was like, it's okay. That's okay. It takes us all, actually, our whole lives, because the opportunity for death and resurrection comes along all the time. We bring our children in confidence. But sometimes we probably spend way too much time trying to protect ourselves from things that naturally just need to end so they can be reborn. And the more we practice it in the little things, the better prepared we are for the really big stuff in life, the losses, the suffering, the pain that inevitably comes along. And God wants us to be free of being owned and hijacked by those sufferings and those pains. God invites us to that freedom. God invites us to that larger grace, to that bigger love, for that freedom to say to somebody, hey, you're beautiful, which probably means I'm beautiful. That's a lovely freedom. I've been watching The Handmaid's Tale. Any other fans in the room? Yeah. No other fan? No, come on, seriously. Let's be honest. Put your hands up, okay? It's actually a profound piece of work, right? At the same time, reading a book called Homegoing, which is a novel that parallels the slave trade in its full picture of Africa selling their people to us, who then enslave them here. And in that narrative of slavery across both those pieces, mothers give away their children to people they barely know so that child can have possible freedom if they can get out. And God wants that for us. God wants that for you and for me and for this world. And we gather as church, we gather as a body of people who've signed on to this process to say, we're gonna practice that. Some days we'll get it right, and other days we're gonna resist it like crazy. But we're gonna keep at it because it is the way God's made it to work. We die, we're reborn. There's death, there's resurrection. There's letting go, there's endings, there's always a new beginning. We will all renew our baptismal covenant today with Mary and with everybody who's going to be confirmed and received here this morning. And as we listen to those words, really take them in and take in the enormity of them. And just wonder in yourself, what is God asking from me, within me? What is God asking to die? And what does God want to raise up? What's the new thing, just yearning to come into this world? Amen.